May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Let me first apologize for my voice today, which is going into some kind of a laryngitis. I will do my best. And if I crack my voice, you are not allowed to laugh. The words of When a Child is Born by Andre Bocelli begin this way. A ray of light flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. When a child is born. Did you know that there are 340,000 churches in America? Let me put it a different way. For every Starbucks in America, there are about 28 churches. When I came across those figures this week, I was a bit upset because at one level, I thought, you know what? Starbucks is doing a lot better job than we are. Because the product of Starbucks is out there. It has affected, it has changed people's lives and people's spending habits. It has become a part of our way of life. If there are 340,000 churches, 28 to 1 against Starbucks, why are not the hearts of people in our nation where they should be? Why isn't Jesus a part of everybody's life in the way that Starbucks is? We are into the new year of 2014. It's the day before Epiphany. We just sang that wonderful We Three Kings, which I looked out at my son because what we used to do at times when we were goofy is every time we would do the whoa, whoa. But I didn't see any of you doing that, so I didn't do it. It's a time when we celebrate the visit of the wise men or the magi, who come to pay homage to the Son of God. And it's a time to reflect anew on what Christ's birth, the Christ event, if you will, means in your life. We prayed in this morning's collect as I began the service, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. Especially pertinent for us is the incredible gift and opportunity that I believe we have here at St. John's in 2014 for the people, mission, and ministry of Jesus Christ. All of this has caused me to intellectually and spiritually reflect once again about the humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is my life, and I pray Jesus is your life as well, at the deepest levels of your humanity. So we will spend the next several Sundays examining who is Jesus. Remember Jesus saying, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This quotation from Jesus is often used when referring to our financial resources, and at one level that is appropriate. However, at the most profound level, you can interpret this as a claim of Jesus on your heart. In first century Palestine, the human heart was understood as the center of one's being. It was the center of your identity. And ironically, recent new scientific data and studies just concluded this past year have said that it is the heart's response, not the brain's, that affects so much of how we respond to people and events in our daily lives. They hooked people up to monitors that were hooked up to their heart and then did a battery of tests on them, and how their heart responded to the image that they were seeing or the words that they were reading was incredible. So we are born to be heart people, if you will, and my question is your heart in Jesus? And for your treasure and your heart to truly be in Jesus, we must understand who he was both then and today. Yet before we can do that, we must acknowledge that all of us here gathered this morning, as small as we are today, perhaps that's a good thing. We come together and we bring to this discussion, if you will, our own interpretations of Jesus Christ that we have when we walk through these doors. You see, we come with our stories, family stories, culture stories, faith stories. Now, we share a common faith story. There is a commonality amongst all of us here this day. That's what's brought us here on this second Sunday of Christmas. Yet you have one that is unique to you because of the influences from your particular culture, your particular family, your particular faith experiences. Where did you grow up? What was your family of origin like? What faith, within what church, if any, were you raised? A professor that I had at Columbia Theological Seminary called these influences lenses through which we interpret our worlds. So how do you know Jesus? What are the sources that you turn to, and how do you use them? Clearly, our primary sources are what we read each Sunday, especially from this center aisle from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four canonical Gospels. And understanding the nature of those Gospels is critical for understanding the personhood and divinity of Jesus Christ. So two important points. One is to remember that the Gospels were written as a record of a developing tradition over a period of years. And second, that the Gospels are a combination of history, if you will, historical record, and then history metaphorized. And I'll say a little bit more about that. Now remember that the four Gospels and Matthew's Gospel that we heard read today was not written at the time of the birth of Jesus. It was actually written following Jesus' death in 33 AD. The Gospels were written from 60 to 90 AD. This morning's Gospel from Matthew was probably written somewhere around 80, perhaps 75 AD. And what you have to remember is that during this time, communities just like this, mostly small gatherings, the church was forming and spreading, especially out into the Mediterranean world. And the developing traditions and experiences about the risen Jesus, not about the born Jesus, but now about the risen Jesus, were shaping the perceptions of Jesus' ultimate identity and mission. And second, there is what we call history metaphorized. And that is that the Gospels contain both history remembered and history metaphorized. Simply stated, there are events that happened exactly the way that they are reported. Words written down exactly the way that Jesus said them. And then there are places where history of Jesus is metaphorized, written not so much for historical accuracy and literal interpretation, but rather to point to a larger and deeper truth. We see that a lot in John's Gospel, the last of the Gospels to be written. Last week's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a theological statement. It's a history metaphorized. This is where having faith like you have and I have is critically important. So we read in today's Gospel from Matthew. Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And later it says, "And they made his home in a town called Nazareth." So what was historically going on in the day of Jesus' birth to make Herod want to kill the infant Jesus? What was happening? Well, Israel was in a mess. They were in significant trouble. They were living under the oppression and the pagan rule of the Romans. The Romans called it the Peace of Rome, the Pax Romana. But if you were living under it and you weren't a Roman, you didn't find it to be all that peaceful. You were working hard, you were almost a slave, and you were paying your taxes to Rome. And so a number of groups were rising up, claiming to be led by prophet kings in rebellion against the Romans. And many believed God would send a powerful Messiah to overthrow the political and military leadership of Rome. The Jews were praying. They were praying in their worship services that God would once again set his people free. The Exodus theme, "Set my people free," is in the air of first century Palestine. That's the setting into which Jesus was born. Jesus is born and is being called by some a Messiah. And this is a threat to Herod. Anything that jeopardizes his leadership, the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, the taxes coming in, is a threat. And so Herod wants Jesus killed. And yet a new day was dawning. A new day was dawning all across the land, and Mary and Joseph had the prayerful sense to listen for God's word. And God speaks to Joseph in a dream. And they hear God's voice about moving away to save the child, the Messiah, that Mary had given birth to. God's voice as the light of the Christ child was now shining brighter than any star. So on this last Sunday of Christmas, perhaps we are really just at the beginning of the story for each of us. Are you sharing in the divine life of Jesus who was born more than 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem? After these decorations come down following this day, and they're probably down in your home, will you allow Jesus to come into your heart and guide your words and actions May this be just the beginning for all of us of new understanding and new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.